Hi, and welcome to the Sports Info Solutions Baseball Podcast. I'm Mark Simon. On this episode, we'll be joined by a Fielding Bible Award winner. Cleveland Guardians second baseman Andrés Giménez came on to talk about how he does what he does on D. There's some fun stuff here, including something he does with his wife to help him stay athletic in the offseason. Then SIS VP of Baseball Bobby Scales will join me to talk about what Andrés had to say. Let's get to it. Joined by Cleveland Guardians second baseman Andrés Giménez. Andrés won both the Fielding Bible Award and the Platinum Glove last season. He was a fantastic second baseman for the Cleveland Guardians. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, nice to talk with you guys, and happy to be here with you guys. Everything great.
So growing up in Venezuela, how did you learn defense?
Over there, defense is pretty important. As you can see, we have so many great shortstops in our history. So the game there, when you're a kid, the defense is really important to play the game. And we just basically working on the basics, you know, move our feet, stay down with the ground ball. And from that, you're going on.
When did you learn the fancy stuff?
Oh, if I told you the truth, I never practiced those things, you know. That thing just happened for a reason, maybe the IQ or the adrenaline of the game, but I never kind of practiced those plays.
Okay, we'll get to a couple of those in a second. First of all, what did it mean to win all the defensive awards that you won this past year?
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember the first month it was difficult for me because the new rule got me very well, so I have to adapt myself to do it. For me, it's a great honor to represent the team over there in the defense category. And I really take pride on my defense because, you know, I kind of help the pitchers as well and the team. So for me, it's a really huge honor to be, you know, in that position.
A lot of people said that last year when they changed the rules and they said no more shifting, that you would learn who the really, really good defensive players were. Players like yourself who have great ability to go side to side and make terrific plays as you did. How was it adapting to the rule, like getting used to the fact that you couldn't shift?
Yeah, it was difficult. Like I said before, the first 2 months of the season, it was hard for me because, you know, I was playing back there almost in the right field with the lefties. And then, you know, be able to adapt myself to just stay in the infield. So it was a difficult move for me. Thank God I did the adjustment and everything went good.
And I would imagine that going into this year, you're ready for it, right?
Yeah, I kind of know. You know, I feel like I find my rhythm without the chief. So I think it's going to be a good thing to have it already in my pocket.
Gotcha. So what are some of the things that you do specifically to stay in good shape? And like, we'll start with just in the off season, coming into the season. What are some of the things that you do to kind of get ready for the year?
Yeah, obviously the weight room, the preparation in the weight room is important just to stay healthy. One thing that I do a lot is I really take pride of my speed and agility all days, move my feet around. And when I have the opportunity to dance, even with my wife or my family member, so I take the opportunity to do it because you move your feet there as well. So I feel like when the ball's coming, you kind of dance with him, with it.
So we were talking to a woman who used to coach in the Red Sox minor league system, and she said that she was trying to teach every player to dance because it's so helpful. How does it help?
Yeah, no, it helps a lot. I'm with her. If you move your feet dancing, it's going to be easier to take a ground ball because you have to be in movement and rhythm. So I'm with her. Umbrella is going to say the same thing as well, and I'm with them. I feel like if you dance, you are mandatory moving your feet. So with the ground ball, it's the same thing.
Are you a good dancer?
I'm not the best dancer, but I can do it. So it helped me for defense.
What would your wife say about your dancing?
Nothing, just having fun in that moment. But when it translates to the game, it happens, you know. At the moment, we just enjoy the music and the moment.
So we always ask players about their pregame warm-up. What do you do to warm up from a defensive perspective before a game?
Be focused mentally, knowing the hitters. Who's a fast runner, who's not, who hit the ball, who hit the choppers more frequently. So you know you get anticipation and you know what kind of runners you have to get rid of the ball quickly or which one you can take longer. Or even when a runner gets to first, you have to check if it's fast or slow. And from there, you you got to think and anticipate what the next play.
So some things you can think and anticipate. Some things are a little trickier. And you already brought this up. You, in fact, I think you mentioned one of the plays that I was going to ask you about. There are plays that you make that you really can't practice. I watched a couple of them a few days ago. There's the one against Julio Rodriguez from April, where you made a double play. You're on the opposite side of second base when you get to the ball. Then you go back to second base, and you chuck it to first, and you get him out. And he's saying, stay safe, before he even gets to the base, which I thought was really funny. What was that play like? We'll have the link to the play in the show notes, but what was that play like for you?
Yeah, that play was sick. I kind of had the opportunity to watch it over and over on YouTube. And, you know, at the moment, I was like, you know, the game, I think it was close late on the game. And I just want to make the double play, you know, to give the opportunity to my team to do something. The thing that I remember about that play was I was thinking about it and I was like, all right, Julio can fly on the bases. I don't remember who was at second, who was running at first. And then when the ground ball comes out, I just tried to catch the ball. When I catch the ball, I was thinking I have the opportunity to make something, to make the out at second. But then I throw to first just for throw it, and it happens. I thought I have no chance because, you know, Julio can fly on the bases.
Yeah, and I think he didn't think that you had a chance of making that play.
And all right. I wasn't expecting that throw going that below. Like, I put the ball in the money, but I wasn't thinking about it. I was more like throw it for throw it.
I like that when I asked you about it, the first thing you said was, that was sick. That's what a fan would say watching you play.
The moment, you know, you're an adrenaline or you competing. But after, you know, after the season is done, I have the opportunity to watch every play. And I was like, damn, that was a good play.
That's great. Then there's this other one against Vlad Jr. where you make a dive to get the ball and you're not looking at second base and you just kind of like throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing. And you get him out at second base. What was that one like?
That one, so Vladdy always kind of find my spot. I always have to be ready with him because he always hit those bullets over there. So on that play, the ball hit the mound and it takes below off the ball. So that's why I kind of passed the ball. And at the moment, I was surprised why I'm not catching the ball. And then I just throw it back here and Arias was there. But I thought it was safe because Bichet was on first and he's a good runner. But then they didn't challenge the play and I was like, that was out.
So in that series, you actually got Vlad with great plays on back-to-back days.
He always hit bullets over there.
You could make an all-star team, I think, out of players that you made good plays against last year, whether it's Adley Rutschman or Vlad or Julio or Alejandro Kirk or Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
The list is pretty long of really good players.
Or Anthony Santander. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. I see that one on my list here. You made a catch on a line drive. If that one's another favorite of yours, tell us about that.
Yeah, that one is a favorite because it's jumping. When you do something jumping, it means you did great. I mean, you know, that was a bullet and he hit, you know, so many line drives. And I was kind of like ready for a bullet to me and not particularly line drive. Yeah, I was ready for a high XCV low there at me.
Nice. All right. This year, there's a good chance that you're going to be playing next to a Venezuelan shortstop. What can you tell us about Brian?
Brian is a really good shortstop, complete. He has a good arm. He's a nice guy. He likes to work a lot and he just played at Venezuela and everyone can see what he did, what he's able to bring to the table with the team. And for me, it's going to be a huge, huge honor to be next to another Venezuelan shortstop. So, or him or Gabby, they're going to do a fantastic job and, you know, really proud of my country.
I was looking at the list of Venezuelan double play combinations throughout the history of baseball, and I have a feeling that if things work out, you're going to be the best one. There's other good ones. Ozzie Guillen was a part of one. There are other good ones, but it looked like a list that you guys could be at the top of. Who are the people that have best taught you defense? Like, who are the people that are your really good coaches and mentors?
I have so many guys who I have to, you know, to put the name on the board because they help me a lot. You know, starting from my program where I come from, my academy back in there, Eduardo, Carlos, professional, Rafael Andestoy, David Avalillo. When I was with the Mets, they helped me a lot. And over here, Mike Sarvi, he helped me a lot on defense. So those are the names that I have mandatory bring to the table because they helped me a lot.
What are examples of things that they helped you with?
I remember I wasn't good at it. I mean, after my first year in Pro Bowl, I wasn't good defender at all. I made so many errors in my rookie year, and I was kind of like worried about it. And so at the end of the second year, I broke my pinky, and I couldn't throw the ball and couldn't do anything with my hand, but my glove side, I can use it. So I remember Landestoy and David Avalillo, they bring me to the field and just catch ground balls every single day because I couldn't throw, I couldn't hit, but I was at the ballpark. So they were, you know, putting me on the field and ground balls every single time for like an hour or 2 hours. And I think that helped me a lot. That was a key moment for me.
And how does Sarbaugh help you?
He helped me a lot. He gave me a lot of confidence on the big league field. I was a shortstop. We started to working at second. So he helped me a lot with the double plays, especially the throw coming for a third base, because, you know, I was kind of like confused a little bit, and he helped me a lot with that, basically with the charge double plays.
How's your relationship with your center fielder? Because Miles plays a very, very aggressive center field.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, everyone here, the teammates are great. We always have a great communication, and he knows if he call a ball, I'm going to be out of there. So he's the boss over there.
Have you come close to collisions?
Yeah. The last game that I played last year, it was in Detroit. So we had a blooper between us, and we almost crashed over there. But thank God it didn't happen.
How's Jose Ramirez as an influence on you?
I mean, he's good. As a leader, he's a leader on the field, definitely. He played the game hard on both ends, defensive and offensive. So he's a really good leader.
Let me ask you two things hitting wise, just to kind of wrap things up, kind of put a bow on everything here. You get hit by pitches a lot.
Yeah.
How are you doing with that?
I don't know. A lot of eyes, man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, cause that can affect you in the field certainly too.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason I get hit a lot, but I take it, you know, if I help the team, you know, being on base for me. You know, I take care of the hit by pitch later, but at the moment, if the team needs someone in base, I'm going to do the tough job.
It's kind of like it's another tool in your toolkit, kind of like the plenties and the other stuff.
We trust on the trainers. I think we got the best trainers on the game. So.
And then what are you looking to improve upon at the plate this year?
At the plate, I'm more focused on swinging the right pitches, you know. Last year, I was kind of like, you know, swinging at everything, follow the plan of the pitcher. So this year, I want to keep my focus on my plan on what I'm trying to do at the plate. So, you know, trying to get back to my 2022 approach, you know, hopefully good things happen.
And last thing, let's just give a pitch to the kids. Explain to the kids that are listening or the younger people that are listening why they should learn to dance.
I mean, I think they have to learn how to dance, first of all, because it's a way to enjoy the moment, you know, enjoy the music, enjoy your family. I feel like dance is an easy way to show love. And if you want to translate that to baseball, it's going to help you with the ground balls, because at the moment that you move your feet, you're going to be in a great position, even or dance or catch a ground ball. So the reason why they should learn dance and then translate to the game is because you're going to move your feet a lot dancing with rhythm. So that's what you're going to do for a ground balls.
Andrés Giménez, star second baseman for the Cleveland Guardians. Hopefully we'll see him someday on Dancing with the Stars as well. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
And we're joined by SIS VP of Baseball, Bobby Scales, to talk about our conversation with Andrés Giménez. There were a number of things that I thought were particularly cool about that. I mentioned to him that I liked that he referred to his own highlight as sick. That was kind of I think that's a generational thing.
Like, when you make it like that, you can call it what you want, you know?
Yeah, as a 40-something, that made me laugh. Also, as someone who is challenged in the areas of hand-eye coordination, he amazes me. And I'm curious what your takeaways were from this interview.
Wow. I mean, I would say for a young guy, he has a very keen awareness of why he's good at what he's good at. And I know that's not the best sounding of English. That's kind of how it is. I mean, he understands why he's good at the things that he does well. And you talked about, you asked him, you know, some of his preparation. First of all, and this is, again, this is an OPD guy talking. These things are learned behaviors. These aren't instinctual plays. These not innately done, right? You've learned these things, which means someone's taught them to you, right? So shout out to all the coaches that he's had in his life, and particularly the Cleveland Guardians, both minor league development staff, and then obviously it continues at the major league level. So because when you talk to a player, you hear the things that he said, right? You know, he always knows that, you know, he understands the game situation. Was it a fast runner? Is it a slow runner? Does he hit a lot of choppers? Does he hit a lot of balls one way or the other? Now, certainly, they're putting a lot of these guys in positions to be successful with, you know, where they're positioning them defensively. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, you still have to be able to read the ball off the bat. You have to be able to understand, you know, how fast this runner is. Does he really run out of the box? Does he get out of the box quick? Does he get out slow? Things of that nature. So I think his baseball, he even said it at one point, his baseball IQ, his ability to understand the situation, diagnose the situation, do the homework prior to, and then adjust as the ball is on the ground or in flight to him is sticks out a lot for me. That's the mental side, which I always, you know, I'm intrigued by. But then the physical things, and he touched on this, you know, it was a great question. You know, you talked about, you know, his ability to dance. You know, dancing is nothing more than making very clean steps in small spaces, okay? And when you're an infielder, that's the name of the game, making clean steps in small spaces that allow you to put you in a position to catch the baseball effectively and then deliver the ball wherever you need to. He's clearly elite at that. Young man won a Fielding Bible Award at second base, you know, given by everybody here at SIS, and then also won the Platinum Glove as the best fielder in all of professional baseball, which is a tremendous award. So those are the two things that stuck out to me, and how he, you know, he talked about practicing his dance and just his mental preparation towards getting ready, and his quickness and his lateral, you know, things he works on in the offseason, the speed and agility drills, lateral quickness, the first step in any direction. Those things are really important. Good infielders do it. Guys who struggle don't. And he does it better than most.
Is there someone that you can think of from your career that was a baseball player that was a really good dancer?
a turning point in my career, right? It was 2002. I was in Double A. There was a young man there, a good dude. I still talk to him from time to time. I actually saw him at the winter meetings this year. A guy named Donaldo Mendez. Donaldo Mendez, I played against him in A-ball with the... He was with the Astros, and the Padres rule fived him to the big leagues in 2001, and he stuck with the big league team all year. And I just remember playing against him in Fort Wayne in 2000. We were both in low A ball. He was in West Michigan, or he was in Michigan, Kalamazoo, Michigan. I was in Fort Wayne with the Padres, and I had never seen somebody that languid, that fluid, and that dynamic at shortstop. And he was, you know, the Donaldo, 6'2". He was 180 pounds then. 6'2", 6'3", 180, very thin, but very, and that's a big man, long and rangy, but boy, his feet were so sweet. They were so good, and he was so fluid with every movement he made, and he had some work to do on the offensive side to become a real big leaguer, and he eventually did. He got a few years in the big leagues, but he was so known for his defense. And I remember, you know, after that 2001 year, he spent all year in the big leagues with the Padres. He got sent back down all the way to Double A because, as it happens a lot of times with guys who have Rule 5 selections to the major leagues, there's something they do exceptional, but there's other parts of their game that obviously need continued development. And his offense was one of those things. So he ended up finding himself down in Double A after spending a whole year in the big leagues with the Padres. And I just remember watching his feet. And then we've talked about this too, Mark, listening to his feet at shortstop and when he moved. And it was one of those inflection points in your career, like, okay, I can't do that right now, but I've got to get to that. I've got to do different things in my career to where if I want to play infield at the major league level, it's got to look like that. And he had some really sweet feet. That dude, he could dance. You know, you go out, you have a good time, and the guy could move, man. And it's no wonder why he was such a good infielder.
One last thing on Andrés Giménez. So he's going to be in his age 25 season. He's got 7 WAR and 5 WAR the last 2 years. His defensive runs saved 17 and 23. Is it silly to think he could get a little better?
No, not at all. He's just beginning the peak of his arc. He's just getting to the top of it. He can really get better. I don't think there's any reason. At 25 years old, with his level of athleticism and the way he currently moves, and what's cool is the fact that his athletic peak, you know, and hopefully he stays healthy for a long time. His athletic peak, he's just now entering into that. But he's also, you saw, you know, you listened to him talk, his aptitude, his ability to process, you know, information, ability to do the math as it's happening at a high rate of speed. It's clearly there. You don't make the plays he makes. You don't think about the things that he thinks about pre-pitch unless you were already dialed in mentally. So it's going to be really fun to watch out, you know, watch this young man.
Bobby Scales and I will both be at the Sabre Analytics Conference in Arizona. In fact, we'll be on the same panel on Saturday. Look forward to seeing anyone that comes over to say hello. Bobby, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
And this wraps up this episode. You can find our articles on the Sports Info Solutions website, sportsinfosolutions.com. Find all our defensive stats at fieldingbible.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at @SIS_baseball. For Bobby Scales and our producer Justin Stein, I'm Mark Simon. Thank you for listening to the Sports Info Solutions Baseball Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the SIS Baseball Podcast. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. If you have any questions, email the show at mark@sportsinfosolutions.com or tweet us @sportsinfo_SIS.